With Montana News, I'm Peyton Butler. An infectious disease lab in western Montana is joining the worldwide effort to study a coronavirus that originated in China, has affected over 28,000 people, and killed more than 560. Rocky Mountain Laboratories in Hamilton received its first sample of the 2019 novel coronavirus on Wednesday. Emmy DeWitt, the lab's principal investigator on the new virus, says researchers have already started projects and more will get underway soon. The topics include how long the virus might remain infectious on a surface and how it binds to cells. They will also test the safety of vaccines and other treatments. The National Weather Service has issued a winter storm warning for the Great Falls, Helena, Butte, and Bozeman areas. Officials are forecasting up to 18 inches of snow on mountain passes, with up to a foot of snow in the Bozeman and West Yellowstone areas from Thursday morning through mid-Friday. Travel could be difficult as blowing snow reduces visibility, and the roads could become icy if snow melts and refreezes at night. The Gallatin National Forest Avalanche Center has issued a backcountry avalanche warning for the Bridger, Gallatin, and Madison mountain ranges and the Lionhead area near West Yellowstone. Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks officials are proposing extending the wolf hunting and trapping seasons in northwestern Montana. Officials are also proposing increasing the individual limit from 5 wolves to 10. The agency took public comment on the proposal to lengthen the hunting season by 6 weeks and the trapping season by 2 weeks. The Fish and Wildlife Commission will hear a presentation on the rules next Thursday in Helena and plans to recommend another month of public comment. The rules could be adopted in June. The state's largest utility filed its intent to purchase an added share of the Colstrip coal-fired power plant in eastern Montana on Wednesday. Kayla DeRoche with Yellowstone Public Radio News has more.
Northwestern Energy filed paperwork with the Montana Public Service Commission asking for approval to buy an added 25% share of Colstrip Unit 4 from Puget Sound Energy for $1. The purchase would add around 185 megawatts to the utility's portfolio. According to the filing, Northwestern has the intention of selling about 90 megawatts of that back to Puget Sound for around 5 years. Northwestern Energy first announced its intentions in December and has since been publicly advocating for the purchase. Northwestern Energy Vice President of Energy Supply, John Hines, spoke about the intended purchase at an Economic Outlook seminar in Billings this week. He said the power market is no longer as robust as it once was.
There's a shrinking amount of power that we can actually go out and buy, especially the unique type of power that Colstrip provides. And that's the type that you can count on when it's really cold out, when it's dark out.
Earlier this year, Colstrip Units 1 and 2 went offline. And as Washington-based utilities pull out of the power plant financially, Northwestern is looking to increase its investment. The utility has said it relies too much on purchasing energy from the open market and needs to add about 200 megawatts of capacity annually, with a goal of 725 extra megawatts by 2025. Meanwhile, environmental groups like the Sierra Club and the Montana Environmental Information Center are already pushing back against the purchase. Ann Hedges with the Montana Environmental Information Center says Northwestern is hiding the true costs that come with the purchase.
Northwestern keeps talking about, you know, it's only going to be a dollar, but that's not what it costs to operate the plant day in and day out. Those costs will have to be borne by their customers, and those are the costs that we want to know about.
The PSC has 7 to 9 months from the date of filing to make a decision. The commission will conduct public comment throughout that process. The proposed purchase is part of a larger business deal that would include buying a share of Puget Sound's transmission system. Kayla DeRoche, Yellowstone Public Radio News.
More than 85% of the money fueling primary campaigns for Montana's U.S. House race this year is held by two candidates, Republican Matt Rosendale and Democrat Kathleen Williams. Corin Cates Carney reports.
Rosendale and Williams each have more than $800,000 in the bank to start off the 2020 election year. The latest federal race fundraising reports show Williams' campaign coffers are more than 7 times that of her only primary opponent, Missoula House Representative Tom Winter. Williams, a former state lawmaker from Bozeman, also has more money coming into her campaign from within Montana than any other candidate in the race. Current Republican state auditor Matt Rosendale is leading the 5-way GOP primary with more than 13 times more cash on hand than Secretary of State Corey Stapleton, who has the second largest bank account. Montana's current U.S. Congressman Greg Gianforte is not seeking re-election and instead is running for governor. According to the Center for Responsive Politics, more than $13 million bankrolled the race for the last Montana U.S. House election in 2018. I'm Corin Cates Carney, Montana Public Radio News.
The American Civil Liberties Union of Montana today filed a lawsuit with the goal of learning how the state may respond to expected protests against the construction of the Keystone XL oil pipeline. Kayla DeRoche with Yellowstone Public Radio News reports.
In its complaint, the ACLU says it requested documents from Montana Disaster and Emergency Services and the Montana Division of Criminal Investigation based on its concern that the agencies are preparing to impede First Amendment freedoms like free speech and assembly in a coordinated crackdown with local, state, and federal law enforcement. The complaint was filed in Lewis and Clark County District Court Thursday. ACLU attorney Lillian Alverness says in early 2018, the ACLU filed a public records request about government preparation for potential protests against the Keystone XL pipeline, but she says the agencies are improperly withholding the documents.
And the documents that they did produce are so heavily redacted, it is hard to tell what the document even is.
The ACLU says the two agencies cited the confidential criminal justice information statutes in declining the records request. The ACLU also says the agencies put a gag order on the records they turned over, which prevents the ACLU from sharing the information with the public. Alverness says Keystone XL developer, TC Energy, has announced it'll start pipeline pre-construction in February and March and construction in August.
So we are hoping to get protesters the information to them as soon as we can of what the government is doing to prepare for their protests.
The ACLU is concerned that law enforcement may take similar measures against expected Keystone XL protesters as it did during protests against the Dakota Access Pipeline in 2016 and 2017. That includes what the ACLU calls unlawful surveillance, excessive force, and criminalization of speech and assembly. Alverness says argument in court is not always guaranteed, and the complaint will have to survive a motion to dismiss first. The Montana Division of Criminal Investigation, on behalf of itself and Montana Disaster and Emergency Services, declined to give comment. Kayla DeRoche, Yellowstone Public Radio News.